ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبص منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. إن شاء الله today we continue with the third hadith in the book of the Imam al-Nawawi Al-Arba'un يرحمك الله Al-Arba'un في مباني الإسلام وقواعد الأحكام. It is popularly known as Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyya. And that hadith follows the very lengthy hadith of the father and the son, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhuma. So the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar and his father Umar radiyallahu anhu, when those two amongst the tabi'un came to him to ask him radiyallahu anhu about the innovation of the man called Ma'bad al-Juhani. And we mentioned in that hadith that the reason why all of that hadith was mentioned was because Ma'bad al-Juhani was denying Qadar, preordainment. And that what was the point of reference for Ibn Umar to have referred to the hadith was the fact of his Prophet saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith that وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. And here we are inshallah looking at another hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. So here al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah, don't forget that he had told us rahimahullah that أَنَا أَسُوقُهَا أَوْ أَذْكُرُهَا لا حفظ الأسانيد, that I'm going to be mentioning these ahadith having removed the isnad. So the isnad is not what we see, but the hadith is authentic because it's from the narrations of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, and there are two authentic compilations. Don't make a video of me because I believe that it is prohibited. عن أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول بني الإسلام على خمس: شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة والحج وصوم رمضان. رواه البخاري ومسلم. الإمام النووي عليه رحمة الله, he says عن أبي عبد الرحمن, he had said to us that it is rare to find a companion without a kunya, very rare. And in this hadith we see the kunya of Abdullah ibn Umar, but Abdullah ibn Umar is أبو عبد الرحمن رضي الله عنه. So he starts with that an Abi Abd al-Rahman, this hadith is reported from Abu Abd al-Rahman Abdullah ibn Umar. His name is Abdullah, the son of Umar radiyallahu anhu. So for the both of them, we are going to say radiyallahu anhuma when the father and the child are both Muslims and died as Muslims, from the companions of Allah's Messenger radiyallahu anhum sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are many of them like that, like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Uthman, because his father Abu Quhafa, his name is Uthman, So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq is Abdullah ibn Uthman. So he was a Muslim, and his father Abu Quhafa was also a Muslim. His father accepted Islam at the time of Fathul Makkah. So when the Prophet came sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into Makkah, he accepted Islam. He was very old at the time. So the father of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was a Muslim. So if you mention his name by saying Abdullah ibn Uthman, Uthman is Abu Quhafa. So if you mention his name by saying Abdullah ibn Uthman, you must say radiallahu anhu. There are many of them too. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. So if you mention Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, you say also radiallahu anhumah. Because both Abdullah and Amr ibn al-As are both companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even when the son Abdullah had accepted Islam long before his father, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As accepted Islam long before his father. And they have one serious thing between them, between Abdullah and his father Amr. The age between the two of them is 9 years. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As and his father have only 9 years between them. So the Prophet used to tell him, alayhi salatu wasalam, Abdullah, ittabi' abaka, always follow your father. That was why at the time of the fitna, because his father was on the side of Ali ibn Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, his son to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As was also on the side of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Because the Prophet had told him, alayhi salatu wasalam, to always follow his father. So the age in between them was very short, 9 years between father and son, radiallahu anhum. When you mention them, for example, you say Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, you say radiallahu anhum. There are so many of them, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. So when we mention Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, you say radiallahu anhum. Nu'man ibn Bashir. When we mention Nu'man ibn Bashir, you say radiallahu anhum. Because both Nu'man and his father Bashir, they are both companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The same thing, Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman. Both Huzaifa and Yaman, we are both companions of Allah's Messenger. Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman himself was a Muslim, he died as a Muslim, eminent companion of Allah's Messenger. And his father al-Yaman was also a Muslim, who was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even when he was killed by one of the Muslims, the father of Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman was killed by a Muslim in a battle. He mistook him for a kafir. And Huzaifa was looking at him and was shouting, "Don't kill my father, don't kill." The person killed him already. So when the case came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet asked Huzaifa, "What do you want?" He said, "I forgive the man." So it made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to like Huzaifa the more, because he forgave the man who killed his father, mistaking that he was the kafir. So we knew how close he was to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the ulama refer to him as Sahibu Sirri Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the keeper of the secrets of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many of them. So when we met Abdullah ibn Abbas, both himself Abdullah and his father al-Abbas are both companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these things come like this, radiyallahu anhuma, is used when the companion and his father are Muslims. And the names are mentioned. Even when you say Ibn Umar, you're saying Ibn Umar, but it's a mahzuf there, which is Abdullah. So in that case, you say radiallahu anhuma also. So both the father and the son, radiallahu anhum. So he said, radiallahu anhu, that qala sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul. I heard, he says sami'tu. I heard, you know, the last hadith we read from the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was quoting his father. Ibn Umar quoted his father. And in this case, he said, I heard the Prophet Muhammad saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what? That buniya al-Islamu ala khamsin. Buniya al-Islam ala khamsin. He said, buniya, he said, they will say it is mabni lil majhul. So, lakin ma'lum. The majhul is ma'lum. Ma'lum shara'an. Al majhul says, buniya, Islam is built upon. Who built it? You will say we don't know. He didn't mention here, but we know it from the Sharia. That the Sharia Islam is not established by any other person except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we say مَبْنِيُّ لِلْمَجْهُولِ لَكِنْ مَعْلُومُ شَرْعًا, it is built like he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, man is created weak. Who created man weak? Allah. الله خالق كل شيء. We know from the Sharia that when he said خلق الإنسان ضعيفا, man is created weak, it meant also that who created him weak? Allah. How do we know? From the Quran. So when he said بني الإسلام على خمس, Islam is built upon, who built it? He said Allah. How do we know? From the Quran and the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So we say it is مبني للمجهول لكن معلوم شرعا. So it is built upon something we do not know. Somebody did something. We do not, it did not mention who did it. But we know who did it. How? From the Sharia, from the Quran, or from the Prophet Sunnah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said that Islam is built upon five things. And we know that whatever we build upon is referred to as foundation. Qa'ida or qawaid, foundations. So you build upon foundations. So you can say Buniya al-Islam ala khamsin. Islam is built upon five foundations or five fundamentals. So here it's that is Islam like a building. They said Buniya al-Islam ala khamsin. Islam is built upon five principles, five foundations. And the first of it is Shahadati Allah ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So the first pillar, the first foundation upon which Islam is built, Allah built Islam upon, is Shahadati Allah ilaha illallah. To testify, we know what Shahada is called. Al-Iqraru bil qalb wa talaffuz bil lisan. So الإقرار بالقلب is that the heart affirms that, affirms what will come to it. This is shahada, the meaning of shahada. So when you say ashhadu, what does it mean? أولا الإقرار بالقلب, you are affirming it with your heart. Then ونطق باللسان, and then you say what you affirm with your tongue, with your mouth, your lips. You say it out to it. So when these two things combine, you say that is shahada. So if you say ashhadu, your statement is just the second aspect of it. The first aspect of it is something that is deeply rooted in your heart. When they differ, then there is trouble. If someone says with his mouth what he does not affirm with his heart, he is behaving like the munafiku. You know, Allah said about them that yakuluna bi afwahihim ma laysa fi qulubihim. So Allah says yakuluna bi afwahihim, the munafiqun, they say with their tongues ma laysa fi qulubihim, what is not in their hearts. So there is no shahada, even when they say with their mouth that ashhadu. That's what they say. What did Allah say subhanahu wa ta'ala? Idha ja'a al-munafiquna qalu nashhadu innaka la rasulillah. He says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولِ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَذِبُونَ. So Allah says, when the hypocrites come to you, what do they say? نَشْهَدُ. That's the shahada. It's not in the heart. They only say أَشْهَدُ. So you the Muslim who also say ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah, when you say it, just ask yourself that is it really true that I make this shahada, so that it will not be imma hypocrisy or hallucination. Hypocrisy is when someone has the opposite of this shahada that we shall describe inshallah in his mind, but he's saying it, he's saying something else. Or hallucination is something somebody is just saying and his mind is not there, like a madman on the street. He's just saying something. He asks him, what do you say? What does it mean? Say, I don't know. Me, I'm just saying talking. That is hallucination. Like those people among the Christians who speak in tongues, what they do is hallucination. Because they do not know the meaning of what they say. They don't know the meaning of it. They don't know what it means. and they do not mean what they say. It is hallucination. They do not mean what they say, and they do not know what they say, but they say something. So don't make your shahada like that. Don't make your shahada a shahada that is bereft of affirmation from the tongue and affirmation also from the heart. So shahada consists of two things: al-iqraru bil qalbi wal nutqu bil lisan. To affirm it with the heart and to say it with the tongue. So what do you say? The first foundation of Islam. What do you affirm in your heart that you say with your mouth? What is it? And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ilaha illallah. You affirm with your heart and you say with your tongue that La ilaha illallah. Lexically they will say there is no God except Allah. Lexically, when they translate it, they say there is no God except Allah. If this is what you mean, you are wrong. If you intend in your mind that you are saying La ilaha illallah means there is no God but Allah, you are wrong. So the testimony, the shahada is still faulty, because that is not what it means. There are aliha min dunillah. After Allah told us about how he destroyed past nations, how he destroyed the people of Noah, how he destroyed the people of Nabi Hud, Saleh, Shu'aib, and Fir'aun and his people. Allah said to us in the Quran, Allah says, فَمَا أَمْنَتْ آلِهَتُهُمُ الَّتِي يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِن شَيْءٍ لَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُ رَبِّكَ وَمَا زَادُهُمْ غَيْرَ تَتْبِيدٍ. Allah says, فَمَا أَمْنَتْ عَنْهُمْ آلِهَتُهُمْ. Their lords, Aliha, the gods they were worshipping, Ma agnat anhum, they did not save them when the punishment in any way means shay'in. They did, their gods, you said what La ilaha illallah means is there is no God, but Allah is saying they are gods. Allah is affirming that they have gods. So that's why I said, then if you say La ilaha illallah means there is no God but Allah, it's a faulty understanding of kalimatu shahada. So Allah says their gods did not help them when the punishments of Allah came. He says, وَمَا زَادُهُمْ غَيْرَ تَتْبِيدٍ. He did not increase them in anything except in perdition. It's a, yes, their lords, that the gods they worship, they think will help them when Allah's punishment came. They did not help them. What we are saying here is, if you say La ilaha means there is no God, Allah is saying Aliha to whom, they have gods. And there are many verses in the Quran like that. So what then does it mean correctly if we say La ilaha illallah? La ilaha illallah. What does it mean? If you say La ilaha, it means La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. There is no one to whom worship is rightly due. The one that you should correctly worship. Yes, those people worship those things, but they are worshiping them is wrong. And anything that is worshipped is referred to as ilah. And that's why it says, فَمَا أَجْنَتْ عَنْهُمْ آلِهَتُهُمْ. Their aliha, their lords did not or could not protect them. So anything, everything people worship besides Allah, except Nabi Isa alayhi salam, is aliha. They are aliha, put together. So the correct meaning of La ilaha illallah is that there is no one that is deserving that worship. La ma'buda. The hakim, actually, rightly, deserving worship. There is no one but Allah. How do we know? Allah told us in the Quran. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلُ. It says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ. That will make you understand that. بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ, that surely Allah, هُوَ الْحَقُّ, he's the one who, to whom worship is due, rightly, correctly. Any other one to whom people devote worship is not due to him. So he said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ وأن ما يدعون من دونه all those things ما all of them are people worship aside Allah سبحانه وتعالى باطل. So we say, okay, what لا إله إلا الله means is that there is no deity, there is nothing people worship that is deserving to be worshipped إلا الله except Allah. And it has come in a way that it does not give any room to accommodate worshipping any other thing apart from Allah. It comes with Sigatul Hasr. It says, La, La, Illa. It comes like that. So they say, Al-Istisna fi Siyakin Nafiko, Sigatul Hasr. So when something is exempted from, just like innamal a'malu, we say it's half or two. So the same thing, la ilaha illa. So nothing, all other things, nephew of them. Illa al-mazkur ba'd al-istisna. Except what you mentioned after the exception. So there's nothing, no any other thing. And that's why even Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Allah told us in the Quran, and he asked him on the day of Qiyamah, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Are you the one who said to the people that they should take myself, they should take you and your mother as two lords, two gods, two deities, aside Allah? In the Qala Subhanak, مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أَقُلَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي لِحَقٍ. Look at. He says, it is not of me, it is not from my rights to say what I do not have a right to say. He's saying that la ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. So the one who actually has the right to be worshipped is Allah. So when you make your testimony that la ilaha illallah, that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, have it in mind that this is what you mean. You are not saying that there is no God, that there is no king. In some languages, when they translate it, they say there is no king. There are kings. There are kings. There are people. Allah says, even the person can be his own ilah. Allah says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. View not للإنكار. للإنكار. Do you not see the one who اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. He took his desires for his Lord. He took his desires for what he worships. So, ilah or aliha are many, but the only one people worship, to whom worship is due rightly, is Allah. Worship is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So he alone that worship is due. From why worship is due to him subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he alone is the creator. So he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in. Look at how he said it. Allah is the creator of everything. So the one who creates then should be worshipped. He says, yudabbiru al-amra min as-sama'i ila al-ard. He sees to the affairs from everywhere in the heavens and earth, everywhere Allah sees and organizes the affairs of everything in creation. He to whom worship is due is the one who does that. So that's why when Allah describes those other things people worship aside Allah, he describes them with powerlessness, weakness, feebleness, and all attributes of negativity you can think of. And that's why, as honored as mankind is, we are not to attribute ourselves, even when Allah made us understand that he has attributes. We do not say that. He also mentioned the same name for our own attributes. We do not make the same and say, no, our own attributes are the same like those attributes of Allah. So he says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. He is not, nothing is like him. Nothing is like Allah. But وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. He now, subhanahu wa ta'ala, even used an attribute that men have and other animals have. But it is not like their own. It says he is As-Sami' Al-Basir. So those who deny these attributes of Allah, it's because they do not understand these verses properly. Some of them, shaitan made them misunderstand it. He says it's not like you, but he hears and sees, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see that to hear and see is from perfection. How will something that does not hear and see coordinate and control something that hears and sees? Something does not hear, it does not hear, it does not see. But you'll be controlling something that hears and sees. How is that? Allah hears and sees. But his hearing and his seeing is not like anyone, any other, part of any other thing. That's why he says, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٍ. There is nothing that can be equated with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we say, لا إله إلا الله, all these things and many others should be affirmed in our hearts. And then we should say them out. It means each time we say, لا إله إلا الله, we'll be fully concentrated in devotion to Allah. So this is the first foundation of Islam. This is the first aspect of the first foundation of Islam. The second aspect of that foundation is that wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is certainly anna, is certainly Allah's messenger. So don't ask, is he Allah's Nabi? Because if he is not the Nabi, he cannot be a messenger. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So when he says it's Allah's messenger, then it's Allah's Nabi. But if he says Nabi Allah, then he can be asked, is he Rasulullah? So he's saying, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ يَشْمَلُ النُّبُوَّةِ لِأَنَّ الرُّسُلْ أَخَصُّ مِنَ النُّبُوَّةِ. So Rusul, messengership, is special aspects of prophethood. So that he says, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger, the messenger of Allah. It has also indicated that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Nabi of Allah. Because every Rasul is a Nabi. But not every Nabi is a Rasul. So when you say this also has its own implications, like we try to explain. That وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ تُؤْمِنُ بِمَا جَعَ بِهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. So we believe in everything that the Prophet has come with, عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. And not only that, we follow everything that he says to us. So that's why Allah said to us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. If you say you love Allah, follow me. Then يَحْبُبُكُمْ اللَّهُ. Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْهُ. So forgive you your sins. So we must follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must also love his companions and follow their examples. This is from the Iman in the Rasul, in the Risala of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why those who cause and speak evil of Allah's companions, prophets, Allah's prophets' companions, that is, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their statements have some refutation of aspects of their shahada in the Risala of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when you say that there is people that Allah raised, Allah loves him, but all the people he surrounded him with are useless people, does Allah love the man? Allah loves him, loves the person. He gives him good people who will admit him. Just like that, the message was to last forever. So if all around him were evil people, who will carry the message? Who will carry the message? So to abuse the Prophet Muhammad's companions, is to abuse the Prophet's messengership, the essence of his messengership. So for 23 years, the Prophet came, alayhi salatu wasalam, was preaching to people who are going to become munafiqun. A'udhu billah. So this is from the belief. This is from testifying to the messengership of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From that is that you do not give preference to the statement of any person over the statement of Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You do not give preference to the statement of any human being over the statement of Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha reported the hadith that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, أي من امرأة نكحت بغير إذن وليها فنكاحها باطل Any woman who is married without the permission expressly of her awliya, her nikah is null and void. Right? So if someone says, no, a woman does not need a wali because he did not give any preference to that over the statement of the Prophet Muhammad. To do that is to be hitting nails on your shahada, Anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. It's a very generous thing to do. There are many examples. In fact, in some cases, it can lead to complete absence of iman, kufr, when it is done in some situations. Because Allah told us in the Quran, says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Not only that, he says, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Salaam wa rabbika. I swear by your Lord, O Muhammad. La yu'minu. They do not believe. Until hatta yuhakimu, until they make you the judge over their affairs. When anything happens between them, they ask me, what does the Prophet say? When anything goes wrong, what does the Prophet say? And they do not give preference to any other person except him. He's the judge. Final say. Not only that, thumma, after your judgment is known, la yajiduna fi anfusihim haraj. You see now, the testimony comes now. So when someone says, I love the messenger, and they haraj fi ma qadha alayhi rasulu alayhi salatu, and then they have problems in his heart. Do we understand? Someone here, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do so and so and so. He says, he's doing, he hates it, it's part of nifaq. Hypocrisy. Because it's like, yakuluna, بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. So, يَكُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, they stay with their mouth. Their mouth is also a limb, like their hands and their legs. So when their hands and legs are also acting in contradiction to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, but in their hearts, it's acting in conformance with what the Prophet said, but in their hearts, they hate it, is القول بِمَا يُخَالِفُ مَا فِي الْبَطْنِ Masib Damir. So it's like saying what opposes what is in the heart. So is that the student? Okay, he accepts MHLA. He doesn't like it. So then the person has not affirmed his foundation, the first foundation of Islam, he has not established it. So to the extent of his deficiency is to the extent of his the failure of the foundation. The extent, the more the deficiency is, the more deficient also the foundation is. So you see, it's something that is very important. Unfortunately, many Muslims don't give attention to all this. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. It ends on your lips. So it's either hallucination or hypocrisy. Don't forget, we explained the two other videos. It's either a matter of hallucination, people saying what they do not mean, or what they do not know, or what they do not believe in, then that will fall, the last will fall into the issues of hypocrisy. We ask Allah's refuge from that evil. So he says, Buni al-Islam wa ala khamsin. Islam is built upon five things, five foundations. Shahadati Allah ilaha illallah. To affirm with our hearts and say with our tongues that there is no one that is worthy of worship except Allah and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Also from that is believing in the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last of all prophets and messengers of Allah. After him, no other messenger or prophet shall come, and that his message shall last until the end of time. This is very important. Let's move on for time. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa iqamis salah, the second foundation, and that the salah should be established. He didn't say we should pray. He didn't say perform salah. He said iqamatu salah. Iqamatu salah. This is what he is. Establishing the salah. It's more than just praying the salah. Just performing. He didn't say perform the salah. He said establish the salah. Iqamatu salah. So he said alayhi salatu wasalam, wa iqamis salati, and to establish the prayer. How do you establish salah? We say establishing salah does not only mean praying, performing salah. What's the difference between the two? The difference between the two is that when we establish salah, for example, the salah must be established, must be performed at its time. The salah must be performed at its time. To perform the salah outside its time without an excuse is not from iqamatu salah. Because he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. This salah, certainly, has been established for those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as something that must be performed at their time. So just like Jibreel will come alayhi salatu wasalam to tell him about Quran, like he came in the fourth hadith to tell him about Iman, Ihsan, Islam, the same way Jibreel came to teach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about awqatu salah. So there is no establishment of salah when the salah, when the time is not reached. There's a misconception here. So when Allah says the salah is only made obligatory for us at their time, it means before its time is not obligatory. That is not salah. Sheikh Abdullah Aziz bin Abdullah ibn Baz alayhi rahmatullah, in one of his fatwa on salah, he was asked that if someone makes takbiratul ihram, Allahu Akbar, and after that, if salatul subhi, the fajr appears, does he have salah? He said he does not have salah. Because the salah starts with the takbir, and the takbir came when the time of the salah had not reached. So he said he does not have salah. So we should watch this. We should not perform the salah when their times have not reached. It is very, very, very important that people understand the times of the salah. Especially devoid of wristwatches. Devoid of wristwatches. Because the ummah is an ummah that does not depend on what changes like that. It depends on things that are permanent and that are easy to know and understand. You can train anyone, anywhere will understand it and can take it. That's the way of being. So salatu subhi should not be performed until the fajr is out. And salatu zuhur should not be performed until the sun goes away from its apex. That is, it descends from the climax. It has a name again. From its zenith, from its horizon. When the sun descends from the horizon, then that is the beginning of the time of Salatul Zuhur. How do you know that the sun has descended? Simple. When you stand on the sun, facing the direction from where the sun comes out, that's why these things are things that Muslims must observe. Don't, when you live anywhere, observe from where does the sun come, because you'll be using it to calculate the times of your salah. Wherever you live, just know where does the sun come out from. So you can observe when it comes out and when it sets and all this. You can observe it. And by that, you'll also be looking at Allah's creation and enjoying the creation of Allah. So when the sun leaves the horizon, you see an image on the ground opposite the direction from where the sun comes out. Because at the time the sun would have gone away to the opposite direction from where it comes out, and the image will be formed on the ground in the direction from where the sun comes out. But if it's in the morning, the image will be formed in the direction that is opposite the direction from where the sun comes out. So that image, as the sun rises in the horizon, the image will be getting smaller. As the sun rises, the image will be getting smaller. When the sun is on the horizon, you will practically not see the image. except when something happens, what is referred to by the scholars as zillu zawal. That's what is the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. That's what is referred to as zillu zawal. Zillu zawal is something that is calculated when the sun is right on the horizon. If you can still notice any image, that image, the length of that image is referred to as what? Zillu zawal. It is established in the Sharia. If at the time that the sun is on the horizon, you can still notice an image on the ground in the direction that the sun is going towards, in the direction away from where the sun is going, that length, whether 2 or 3 centimeters or something, or hand span, that length is referred to as zillu zawal. So you notice it perhaps the first day, the second day, if it is constant, then you add that when the sun leaves the horizon and you measure it, if it is still at that length, you know that the sun has not left the horizon. But once it goes away from that length, if it is 3 centimeters, for example, or one palm's length, you notice it. This is zillu zawal. When the sun descends from the horizon, whatever you measure that is deeper than the palm's length makes you understand that the sun has left the horizon. So when it leaves the horizon, that is the beginning of the time of Salatul Zuhur. That is the beginning of the time of Salatul Zuhur. So that time extends, and then extends to from when the image is exactly your height. It means Islam expects that we know our height, or the height of the object you are using. Maybe you are using a stick that is 1 arm's length long. So when you pin it on the ground, you know how much of it gets into the ground, so that you can calculate it accurately. Or you can just leave it. When you slant it on the ground, you'll be able to note it. So from there, you calculate the actual size of that object. Don't forget your zillu zawal. So if you have used the object to calculate your zillu zawal, you must add that to it to calculate the time of Salatul Asr. Because if the object is, the image, the shadow is exactly the size of that object, while there is a period of zillu zawal, it means it has not reached the time of Salatul Asr until you add the length of the zillu zawal. I hope it is understood. So that is the beginning of the time of Salatu al-Asr. And then the time extends until before sunset. The time of Salatu al-Asr extends. So when you say that someone left the Salah outside this time, it does not mean that people are praying and did not join them. The only thing for which someone who does not join the people in the masjid when they perform salah in the masjid, salatul jama'ah, the sin that he commits is that he is not praying in jama'ah. But he does not commit the sin of leaving salah if he still prays it within the time range. Do we understand? The time for salah is not 2 o'clock, it's not 4 o'clock, it's not 1 o'clock, it's not 12 o'clock. Even when it is not wrong, you know the time and then fix it that from now it is called after. From tomorrow it will be 20 after. From next tomorrow it will be before wrong, after calculating it using these natural means. So, but the one who does not come for the salah in the masjid is guilty of one thing. If he still prays it within the time range, what is he guilty of? Not praying in jama'ah. Because to pray in jama'ah is what? Obligatory. In the Quran, when the people who are thrown into the fire, and they are regretting they are being thrown into the fire, from what you say is, "Lam nakum min al-muslimin." We are not always with those who are not. We don't go for Salatul Jama'ah. We don't join the people in Salah. So ulama say, "Oh, this dalil that Salah must be performed together with people, especially for females. For the females, they have the best place for them in their rooms. But for the males, the masajid, obligatory, not best. Obligatory, you must come to the masjid. So this is from the establishment of Salah. And the time of Salatul Maghrib ends. The time of Maghrib starts when the spherical thing we see about the sun descends into the horizon. So when it descends into the horizon, it's not seen again. It's time for Salatul Maghrib. That ends, extends and ends at the time when you start seeing the stars. When you start seeing the stars everywhere, all the reddish aspects of the sky have gone. So what you can see now is complete dark sky, or a sky that does not have any reddish tint. This is the beginning of Salatul Isha. And then extends onto the third part of the night, or Nisful Layl. There are narrations that affirm both. So the Nisful Layl, the middle of the night, how do you calculate the middle of the night? You calculate the middle of the night by knowing the time of Ghurub, when the sun, the time of Maghrib. And you know the end of the night when the Fajr appears. You calculate it and you know how many hours you have in between. If you divide into two, that time you have, if you have 6 hours in between, add 6 hours to the time of Maghrib, that is Muntasifil Layl. Muntasifil Layl. That is half of the night. So that half of the night is the end time for Salatul Subh, for Salatul Isha. So, and for Salatul Isha, unlike other salawah, the more you delay Salatul Isha, the better. The more the Salatul Isha is delayed, the better. But for all other salawah, the earlier they are performed, the better. So all of these come under Iqamatul Salah. Many Muslims don't care, they don't know. What time was Salah? 2 o'clock. In fact, if people want to abuse people, they say that sooner they are performing Salah at 1 o'clock. Is 1 o'clock the time of Salah? So, Ikhwan, we should know these times. It's easy to know. It's easy. That's why we take the time to describe it. So, when he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, that wa iqam is Salah, and to establish Salah, this is the second foundation of Islam. From the establishment of Salah is to perform the Salah at their time. From the establishment of Salah is to perform the Salah with wudu that is sound. Many people at the beginning of their wudu, this is common mistake, they did not say basmala, they did not say tasmiya, like saying bismillah, or even just saying Allah. They do not mention Allah's name. Not to mention Allah's name at the beginning of an ablution is a sin. And some of the scholars hold that someone who performs ablution like that does not have an ablution. So from Iqamati Salah is to make sure that your wudu is perfect. And it cannot be perfect if you don't start with basmala or tasmiya, mentioning Allah's name. God said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la salata liman la wudu alahu. وَلَا وُدُوَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يُسَمِّ اسْمَ اللَّهِ. There is no salah for the one who does not have wudu. And there is no wudu for the one who has not mentioned Allah's name. Mention Allah's name at the beginning of your wudu. So when you start, you wash the hands. We know all the aspects. But the areas where mistakes come up is washing the elbows. Inclusive. When you make wudu, if you wash your arm, wash the elbow, inclusive, don't leave your elbow. Wash the elbow. And when you rub your head, don't rub your fingers. Rub all of the hands, covering all of the head. Masfur ra'af. So it can be done by starting at the beginning and rubbing to the back, and then returning in Surat Duhu. Or starting from the back. That hadith is also established in Sahih Bukhari. You can start rubbing the head from the back. Then returning it to the back. You can also start rubbing from the front and then returning it to the front. Because some of the people hold وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ this bar, they say لِتَبْعِيد لَا. It's not لِتَبْعِيد. How do we know? Hadith of Rasul. The meaning of لِتَبْعِيد means that just any part of the hair that you rub. So when you put water on your hand, just put it, rub one hand on the head. See? Is wrong. Because the Prophet did not practicalize that verse like that. And we had learned in Usul Sunnah من ثبت محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم لإمام أحمد بن حنبل والسنة تفسر القرآن وهي دلائلها. The Sunnah explains the Quran and it is its guide. The Sunnah would tell you, no, this is what the Quran means. So the Prophet made us understand, alayhi salatu wasalam, that not ra'at is not part of the ra'at. It is part of the ra'at that we rub. And the same thing applies when we wash the feet. The ankles must also be washed properly and the legs must be clean. Then we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is what the mind is convinced about, its authenticity from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. As the dua after wudu. اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. It's reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi. But this ziyada is shadda, da'ifa. This ziyada is weak. It's not authentic. Allahu a'lam. There are other people say, right. So when you say what's established from the hadith of reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, is that once you say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, stop there. If you now like, make any other dua you like. Because he said alayhi salatu wasalam that Futihat abwaabu samah, the gates of the heavens are exposed, are opened. After someone finishes the wudu and says this shahada, the gates of the ask what you want. So we are free to ask. So all these are from Iqama to Salah. So and then we pray. Most times people pray not wearing nice clothes. Sometimes people pray not wearing nice clothes. Sometimes people pray wearing tight fittings. Women sometimes pray in their rooms wearing jeans, tight. This is not permissible. Because from Sitrul Awra is that two things must be done. Number one, you must cover the parts such that the shapes are not also seen. Covering it and covering the shape. Covering both the color and the shape. Maybe a woman is wearing a jeans in her room. Now it is your house. But have you covered both the shape and the color? Yes, you have covered the color, but here is the shape. We understand what we mean. So the same thing applies to men who wear shirts and trousers and are talking when they perform salah. They cover the color of their body, but they do not cover the shape of their aura. So when they make a ruku like this, you see, behind them you see the funny things you see. They have not covered aura. And sitru aura is from the aspects of salah that when they are not completed, there is no salah. So how is that? From the shurut of salah. So the awra must be covered in color and in shape. Then a man say, let me, no problem, but just make ruku and see. So some brothers, even in the high institutions, you tap on swing sisters, sister, don't wear trousers to the mosque. So, but look at him. He's tucking his shirt, and when he makes ruku, all his own shapes to his buttocks are all exposed. So that's why the best clothes to wear, in fact the correct clothes, not the best, the correct clothes for the Muslim to wear is a cloth that does not show his shape of the aura, the free flowing clothes. Anyone who is doing that has not made Iqama to Salah, who is wearing tight fitting clothes that shows his, describes his aura in Salah, has not made Iqama to Salah. There is no, you have not done Iqama to Salah. Sometimes people go find YC. They wear funny things and they come and pray like that with those things. You have not done a Iqama to Salah. And as a male, the minimum you must cover is between your knees and the navels. And as a matter of obligation, something must be on your shoulder. But if it is not on the shoulder, you have the Salah, but you are sinning while praying. SubhanAllah. You are praying and sinning. Because the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that none of you should perform the salah except that there is something on his shoulder. So ulama say, even if it is one shoulder, there is something, no problem. Just make sure something is covering one of your shoulder. So if someone just covers from his navels to his knees, it is not, the color is not showing and the shape is not showing, he goes on with his salah. But the best of it that does not include his sinning is that then he puts something on his shoulder. So Allah said to us, "Ruzinatakum inda kulli masjidin." So when you go for your ibadat in the masajid, pick on, wear nice clothes. And the Prophet capitalized on alayhi salatu wasalam by wearing his cap. The Prophet never prayed alayhi salatu wasalam. There is no any authentic narration that he prayed hafir al-ra'af without wearing a cap. There is no authentic hadith that the Prophet prayed alayhi salatu wasalam not wearing his cap. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He never prayed. They say he prayed, he used his cap as sutra. He's weak. He's a weak munkar, hadith munkar, hadith jibran. Weak hadith. And he prayed one day, he removed his cap. He's weak. The Prophet never prayed alayhi salatu wasalam except that something was on his head. He was practicalizing that verse of the Quran, "Khudhu zinatakum inda kulli masjid." And the companions, which are not known to pray without wearing anything on their head. There is an author, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah, mentioned it in his Majmu' Fatawa. Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah was saying that this author, he tried to find from where did Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah quoted it, but he did not find it. But he found some things that the meaning affirm the meaning of that quotation. That one day, Abdullah ibn Umar Abu Abdurrahman, about whom, whose narration we are mentioning today, he saw his slave Nafi. You know, he was a slave for a long time, over 10 years he was following about. He wanted to perform the salah without wearing a cap. And he said to him, "Is this how you will appear to people? If you will not appear to people like this, why do you stand before Allah like this? You will not appear to people like this. So how do you stand before Allah like that?" So he says, "Wallahu ahaqqu an yutazayyana lahu." And Allah has the greatest right that when we stand before him, we dress properly. Many people go to offices, they wear cap, dress well, wear babari, gar, brocade, everything. When they are going for salah, they have one dirty jalabiya they wear. The one they wear to sleep in their house. That is the one they wear to the masajid. Allah can take anything. But their oga in the office cannot take anything. Allah. So from iqamah to salah is that we dress properly for the salah. From dressing badly for the salah is that our lower garments exceed the ankles. We are dressing badly for the salah. It's bad for the salah. Because he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, that ma asfala min al-izari min al-ka'baini finnar. You know who reported the hadith? Ibn Umar. He has a riwayah of that hadith. Radiallahu anhuma. So don't wear an izar that is longer. So some people want to do the corner way. You start folding it. Allah knows that it extends. He sees you that this guy just folded it. He's seeing you. He's seeing you. So where is the ihsan? An ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara. Where is it? So when you leave the salah, let anything happen. You are not under Allah's care. When you are outside salah, Allah can't hold you. He can't kill you when you are outside salah. He does not see you when you are outside salah. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. So from iqama to salah is that don't allow the clothes you wear to extend beyond your ankles. Then when you come to the salah, have khushu, concentrate in the salah. Like we said about shahada, don't make your salah a salah that has himma hallucination or hypocrisy. Hallucination, somebody is just talking, he doesn't know what he's saying. He's just talking, just, yeah. So make your salah one that you consciously make for Allah. One thing people usually use as an example, but the case is bigger than it, but perhaps to make us understand better, is if you are before a Yaradua now, will you ever be absent-minded? Frankly speaking, do you go absent-minded? Do people go absent-minded when they are in front of presidents of countries? Or who created the presidents? Who takes their lives? Who gives them health? Who sustains them with air that they breathe? Who kills them when they sleep and then returns life back to them? So if you will not be absent-minded in front of Kiyara Dua, why do you be absent-minded before the one who created you? So when you perform salah, when I perform salah, our minds and our attention should be on the salah. Our attention should be on the salah. We recite Surah Al-Fatiha, thinking about the cleaning. These days, people don't have excuses. SubhanAllah. People don't have excuses. In the past, there were no translations. Today, there are translations. If you can't read Arabic, go and read English translation. What does it mean? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The first verse, Bismillahi Rahman Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Know their meanings. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. When you pray, your mind is there. It will assist your khushu' in your salah. Wal-inkisaru lillahi. So all these are from iqamat al-salah. So, and then you make a practical exemplary of what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Sallu kama raaytumuni usalli. So pray as you see me pray. So did you see him pray? Did you see him pray? So how do we pray? You pray as it is reported in his hadith that he prayed, alayhi salatu wasalam. So what is reported in the hadith that he will do? He says he will raise his hand, alayhi salatu wasalam. Imma to the level of the earlobe or to the level of the chest. Say takbir. Then he folds the hands. People drop their hands. Is it reported that he drops the hands? After saying takbir, is there reported that he drops the hands? There is no report. What he says is take takbir and folds his hands. So why do you drop the hands? Put the hands on the shoulder, on the chest, and fold it. And then continue with the salah. As we know it, make adhkar. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. Subhuhu kudusu rabbul malaikat wa ruh. Allahumma gfir li wa fahdini wa afini wa rizqni. All these adhkar, we should know them. If you can't read Arabic, I say there is no excuse. There is transliteration. There is transliteration. And all this. There's a common mistake people make. They don't sit. Jilsat al-istiraha. The sitting of rest. When you stand up from the second rak'ah, from the sujood, you sit down to rest. The one who reported Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli is the very same person who reported the hadith of Jilsat al-istiraha. Malik ibn Khuwairis. The hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. So just sit down. Abdullah ibn Umar also reported hadith. Allahu Akbar. He has a riwayah of Al-Jilsat al-Istiraha. Abdullah ibn Umar has a riwayah of the hadith of Jilsat al-Istiraha. Al-Imam Diyaluddin al-Muqdisi, he reported it in his book Hadith al-Mukhtara. And the riwayah is Hasan. So when you stand up, you rest on your hands. The hadith of Ajnu is also authentic. That we fold the hands and put it is also authentic. It's authentic. And Imam Ibrahim al-Harbi in his book, Garib al-Hadith, he said the meaning of Ajnu is you fold the hands, put it on the ground. You stand up, resting on it. So and then you make tahiyya after the appropriate number of rak'at, you make your taslim. There is also one common error here in the aspects of taslim. People make mukhalafatul imam when they make taslim. How? That is, they differ from the imam. And you know what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam? He says, innama ju'ila al-imamu li'utamma. Who? He says, wa idha kabbara, wa idha raka'a, wa idha qala, fa'kulu, wa idha fa'ala, fa'kulu. But sometimes the imam does something people not do. What does he do? Imam will say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. People are still making tahiyya. Have you observed this? Imam says, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. They will not make taslim. They are making tahiyya. So when the imam says, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, and he now says, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, you are making mukhalaf of imam. Ittiba'ul imam, like he says, Iza kabbara, إذا سلم سويس السلام عليكم ورحمة الله يسيرون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله because his fourth تسليم بالإجماع takes him out of the صلاة وإجماع المسلمين once the imam says السلام عليكم ورحمة الله he has gone out of the صلاة the second one is نافلة pray your own too what if the imam says السلام عليكم you still waiting you will not know that he has finished and gone away you will be waiting there because the riwayah is authentic that the imam can say assalamu alaikum he stands up and goes away you are doing Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu in Sahih al-Bukhari the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to their house alayhi salatu so he prayed he led them in a nafil they invited him to eat So after eating, they said they wanted to seclude somewhere in their house where they will be performing salah. The Prophet should be there. The Prophet prayed there. He said, Sallam Rasulu fa sallamna. So Sallam Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, because he is made taslim, fa sallamna. He made taslim, because of that, we also make our own taslim. Like, yusallimuna al-a'imma wa la yusallimu al-nas. There is also a mukhalafa. Many imams don't say Ameen after their fatha. Imams, they can't say Ameen. Because maybe the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam that وَإِذَا قَالَ غَيْرِ مَكْدُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ فَقُولُوا Ameen. So that means don't say Ameen. Because he told the people praying behind the imam not to say that they should say Ameen. Is he saying the imam should not say Ameen? He said, Fakulu Ameen. He didn't say you, don't say Ameen. He says, Iza Kala, Zayri Magdubi Alayhim Wala Dalim. Fakulu Ameen. You people should say Ameen. Did you talk to the Imam that Imam should not say Ameen? This one. Secondly, there's riwayah, Sariha, that the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Iza Amman al Imam, Fakaminu. Iza Amman al Imam. When imam starts, because Iza is Zarf again, Zarf al-Zaman. Iza Amman al-Imam. When the imam starts his Ameen, because he has started his Ameen, Aminu. That makes us understand that even the first hadith, when he says, Ghayri Maghdubi Alayhim Wala Dalim, Kulu Ameen, he didn't think that the imam should not say Ameen. So even if we didn't see this second hadith that says, Iza Amman al-Imam of Aminu, we can even understand from the first one that even when the imam is not told to say Ameen, doesn't mean he should not say Ameen. Many people also do not say Sami Allahu liman hamida. When they are coming, you say Rabbana lak alhamd. No, it's a mistake. Sami Allahu liman hamida is the zikrul intiqal min al-ruku ila al-qiyam. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Should be said while you come up. That is one. Secondly, that it should be said aloud. Everybody should say it. So. Then Rabbana lakal hamd should be said when you have made it. You are standing already. So their position is different. The position of Sami Allahu liman hamida is different from the position of Rabbana lakal hamd. So Sami Allahu liman hamida should be said as you are standing up. When you have already stood up, then you say Rabbana lakal hamd. And the way you say them differ. Sami Allahu liman hamida is said aloud. Rabbana lak alhamdu is said silently. The Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar mentioned all these. They are not strange. It's in Fath al-Bari. All of these we have been saying. Sharh Sahih Bukhari. Many of the people make mukhalafa, including the issue of Taslim. And when you say Imam says salamu alaykum, you say salamu alaykum. It's in Fath al-Bari. It's here long ago. It's not a new thing. Don't say they bring new one. It's not new. It's not new. So when we do all this, we concentrate in the salah, then the format of salah is established, inshallah. He says, well, it is zakah. We spend a lot of time on salah. He says, well, it is zakah. And then you give the zakah. Most people do not plan to give zakah. And most times, if you do not really, really dedicate that I want to be able to give zakah, you may never be able to give zakah. So let's give zakah. The nisab for gold is 20 dinars, 20 golden coins. It is about 85 grams of gold. So the amount that you purchase 85 grams of gold in the world market, it has standard prices. So go and look for the price of 85 grams of gold in the world market. Convert it to your naira. That is the money nisab you will have for 1 year. Many people don't pay zakah. Many rich people don't pay zakah. They give sadaqah thinking that it is zakah. There is difference between sadaqah and zakah, even when the two words are interchangeably used in the Quran. But there is clear difference between sadaqah and zakah. I think that some of the time we will be explaining things like that. He said also, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "Wal Hajj." The fourth foundation of Islam is to perform what? Hajj. Go for Hajj. Hajjul Islam. Hajj of Islam is a Hajj that somebody who is matured, a baligh, aqil, hur, performs. Someone who is baligh, five conditions for Hajj. For women, six. Five conditions for Hajj. For women, six. The first condition, baligh. The person must be a baligh. Must be somebody who is matured. Aqil. He must be in his senses. If you take a madman to Hajj, he is not performing Hajj. Carry madman to Hajj. He does not have Hajj. Because he's gairu mukallaf. So the third condition is that he must be hur. He must not be a slave. If a slave goes for Hajj, he has the reward for Hajj, but he will come the Hajj of Islam. This Hajj of Wal Hajj is Hajj of Islam. He's not talking about Hajj in Nawafil. If you take a child for just Hajj also, Hajj in Nawafil, yes, he will have the reward of the Hajj written for him. You too, you have the reward of Hajj taking the child, but it's remaining for him what? Hajjul Islam. The Hajj that Islam asked him in this Dunya al-Islam ala khams. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Ayyuha an-nas, inna Allah," this hadith is in Sahih Muslim, reported by Abu Huraira, "inna Allah qad farada alaykum al-hajja, fahajju." Oh, people, Allah has made Hajj obligation for you. Go for Hajj. So what must he fulfill as conditions? He must be baligh, aqil, hur. The other condition is that he must have kasb, he must have nafaqah for himself and for his ahl. For himself, he will spend his transport, his feeding, his menene there, and one he will leave for his people. If he does not leave anything for them, yes, he has the Hajj, but he's spinning until he comes back, if they don't have what to eat. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that kafa lil mar'i ithman an yada'a man ya'uluhu. It suffices for a man as he sin that he abandons the person that he is taking care of. He's the one giving the woman food. He then abandons her. It's kafa lahu ithman. It suffices for him as sin. So if he goes, yes, he's gone for her, but it's a sin. The additional issue about the women is the fact that they must have maharim. They must have mahram. They are male relatives. Either their husband, or their brother, or their uncle, or all those people Sharia mentioned, that they can't marry the woman. One of them must go with the woman for Hajj. It says in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, the Imam Dar al-Qutni reported the hadith is authentic, that لا يحجن امرأة إلا ومعها محرم محرمها. So no woman should make Hajj except that she has her mahram, her husband, all of those people that we have mentioned, and others. Then wasawmi Ramadan, all of those must be preceded with intention. Don't forget, إنما الأعمال بالنيات. If the intention is that when you come back, everybody will be calling you Alaji, فَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مُّكِنْ مَانَوَى. You get that. They will call you Alaji, but you end there. If it is that so that they will call you Alaja, no problem. When you come back, they will call you Alaja, it will end there. Alaja. Munzo, munzo ne. When you come, it will just end there. May Allah preserve us from that. So, wasawmi Ramadan. The other condition, the other foundation of Islam is fasting the month of Ramadan, or fasting of Ramadan. Imma the fasting of Ramadan, or fasting in the month of Ramadan. صوم رمضان. You fast in the month of Ramadan. When the moon is sighted, the leader says, start fasting, start fasting. When the leader says, end fasting, end fasting. Don't start your own fast. And don't end your own fast. Because he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that as-sawmu yawma yasumu an-nas. Fasting commences the day that the people commence fasting. Wal-fitr yawma yuftirun. And the day of Eid al-Fitr is the day that the people, those same people again, will break their fast. You can't start your fast alone. You can't break your fast alone. Here there is, he mentioned here, Abdullah ibn Umar mentioned Hajj and Sawm. Ulama say, just mention this. It is Tartib al-Dhikri. And it's Tartib, just mentioning something, not Tartib based on importance. If it is 13 based on importance, then the soul comes before the Hajj. I think these are some of the benefits in this hadith. Then the Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah said, Rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim. The Imam al-Bukhari and al-Imam al-Muslim have both reported the hadith. So the hadith is that An Abi Abdurrahman Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma qala Samitu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul Bunya al-Islamu ala khamsin شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة والحج وصوم رمضان رواه البخاري ومسلم. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Okay, I hope I can answer إن شاء الله. Sometimes people, the time the haul has not reached, you know, there are two conditions for paying zakah, the haul and nisab. The nisab must complete the haul. The required amount somebody must have before he pays zakah must be with him for 1 year. You have the money for 1 year. He has the money in his hand. 1 year is keeping the money. So from that, you remove 2.5%. He's asking that sometimes the time will not have reached. Maybe it has only reached 10 months or 11 months. And Ramadan comes. He pays it in Ramadan. Or sometimes the time has reached. Maybe in Sha'ban. He will not pay. He will be postponing it until Ramadan. So he say, is it correct or what do we have to say about that? Allahu Alam. The first one could be right. The 12th month has not completed. But it feels that, let me do this good deed in the month of Ramadan. Some of the scholars have mentioned possibility for that. If the time is not long, maybe 1 month is remaining, or 2 months is remaining, he can pay the zakah if he has the money. I know that he still keep the money for the 12 months to complete. He can hasten, he can give it in the time of Ramadan, because people like to do some of these good deeds in the month of Ramadan for increased virtue, increased good deeds that they will get. But to extend it beyond its time is tahiru tanfizil al-amr, delaying the implementation of the command. This is not permissible in the Sharia. Delaying the implementation of the command. And that's why they will say, it is four. Immediately Allah gives us a command, we must implement that command at that time. So the one that his time has reached before Ramadan. You see, between that time and the time of Ramadan, he will be postponing it. The people who are due for the zakah, they need it. The sa'il wal mahroom, they need the money. Their right over you, they need it. So he will be delaying their rights. For delaying it until Ramadan. Pay it. Allah has rewards abundant. Give it. So delaying it has some things like delaying the implementation of the command. And to delay the implementation of the command is prohibited in the Sharia. But to hasten towards it is not wrong, especially more especially when the people will be willing to accept the money, will be in need of the money. So some of the scholars have mentioned that. So it's not wrong to do so earlier, but to delay it will be keeping the rights of some people, thus in addition to delaying the implementation of an order from Allah and His Messenger. Allahu alam. Alaykum as-salam. Like what? He doesn't do what? Give that a list there. Well, if it is something common with the Imam, we should make mukhalafa of him. He commonly just leaves out the Sunnah. Perhaps he knows it's there. No, because the Prophet is cold. Some people used to say that. That is because, well, who told them that it's because Prophet is cold? Who said Prophet did it because he's cold? And he being said to Malik ibn Khuwairis, because Malik ibn Khuwairis was a leader of a group of people, about 25 or so of them. They stayed with the Prophet for about 20 days. They were sent by their people to come and learn Islam from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was the leader of a waft. So when they were going back to their city, he asked, but what should we be doing when we get there? He said, pray as you saw me praying. And he saw the Prophet making this at al-istiraha. So you are not more intelligent than this companion. When the companion got to his people, he was describing the salah. He sat down and sat in the istiraha. Because that was what he saw. For you today, who didn't see the Prophet, you know whether he was cold or not. You are bringing an excuse that Malik ibn Khuwairis, who saw the Prophet praying, did not bring. Do we understand? So, if it is his practice that, I won't do the sat in the istiraha, you should make mukhalafa of him. When he prays, you should make the sat in the istiraha. But perhaps things like that can be followed with some easy, non-vexation-filled munakasha or advice. Imam, this is the Al-Istiraha, uh-huh. It's established, the hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari, it's authentic, and things like this. Inshallah. Perhaps they will change. If you change, it's good. So, but for the Imam who does it, perhaps it doesn't just be that day, and we just do it after him. There is no problem also regarding that. Allahu alam. Alaykum salam. It's not correct. If it is based on jahal, there is zakah. You have given zakah. If it is based on ignorance, if it is based on deliberately, he still has given zakah, but he's sinning because he's denying the rights of those to whom the zakah is due. Well, just make sure the impurities don't get to you. Just make sure impurities do not get to you. But there is nothing wrong also if you go out of the place. That is the best. So that you will not be taking in these evils. Says, voila. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَحِيمًا بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Do not kill yourself. Allah is merciful to you. Why don't you like to be merciful to yourself? Go and stay inside the toilet where there are people to let urine. And you are susceptible to the these things can splash from the water of wudu or something. And then you just go out of the place. And then the smell is there. So don't bring yourself close to not being merciful to yourself. Go out of it. Even when you do it and the urine and all this do not touch you, there is nothing wrong about the wudu. Well, mentioning the name of Allah, Aisha radiallahu anha said, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yadhkuru ismallahi fi kulli ahyanihi. He, in his ahwal, how can I call it, the Prophet mentions Allah's name in all conditions. And that he's in the toilet is one condition too. So So some of the scholars say that to harmonize between that and mentioning it and saying, because there are other ahadith, like the hadith of, if I remember vividly, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, that he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, إِنِّي كَرِهْتُ أَنْ أَذْكُرَ اللَّهَ عَلَى غَيْرِ وُدُوءٍ. I dislike mentioning Allah's name when I don't have ablution. So if the person is in the prayer, he does not have ablution, it means it is disliked for him to do so. But because she said, alayhi radiallahu anha, that he mentions, he remembers Allah in every condition, it means it may be permissible to do it silently inside your mind. Do you understand? I'm harmonizing between the two narrations. Allahu alam. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It works, and it is right for him if what the things that touch the clothes are not najasat. It works. But if he knows that if he returns to the store where he will have the opportunity to change the clothes, wear a nice clothes, and still pray Salatul Jama'ah with the people in its time, it's better for him to delay it and go there. But if he fears that the time of the Salah will go, or that if he gets there, he will not pray Salatul Jama'ah, he can pray with that clothes. The first question that if somebody wears the labia, not only showing his shape, it's even showing it's see-through, it's transparent, it does not fulfill the conditions for a cloth. And don't forget, the place where it must not show is between the navel to the knee. So if he's wearing something between the navel to the knee, it does not show it, then it doesn't have problem, even when others may show. So the issue is not the issue of he's wearing the labia or not. The issue is to fulfill the condition. Allahu alam. Alaykum salam. Okay.
Where we all know the dress is very good, like in the movie,
No, they can wear something that is long. Those clothes that they cannot wear in Salah, they cannot also wear it outside Salah. The clothes that is not permissible for you to wear during Salah is not also permissible for you to wear it outside Salah. Especially when they show your aura. Yes. When they talk and they tie the belt, the rope. Okay. When they make the ruku. The second issue is attached to your question, Malanshiru, is that who said it is dressing code for doctors? Please just ask anybody. Is there a law that says doctors must dress like that? Why do you say that it's convention? Who took the convention? Muslims or kuffar? And convention against our deen. And this is where some of us have problems with the so-called Boku people. They will say, let's read the book, so that we will get on top. When you get on top, they are the worst enemies of Islam. There is this Professor Afindadi now in ABUTHC. He sacked a woman who is wearing hijab. If it is a Christian, they say it's because Christian. It's because we Muslims are not there. It's because you Muslims are there now. You are the ones sacking Muslims. The issue is, by the time this Muslim who is compromising gets on top, he's a useless Muslim. That's what happened. The Muslim is going, compromising. By the time he gets to the top, they finish everything in Islam in him. He will not feel it any difficult to sack the woman. And he was told, people sent letters to him. It's on the net. This funny professor is a Muslim. Having that idea, what is it called? He is proud that all he knows is that the superiors of this woman, the woman is complaining that they are victimizing her because they are Christians. He said all he knows is that he says she's not a good woman. They sack her. That the dressing is too much. If the Muslims are not there, they will say it's because we are not there. When you are there and call, let's stop here. But the fact remains that some Muslims will be saying that, let's be, we too, we should be going there. No, when you go there, your Islam has finished. So as you are going, be insisting on the rights and the rules of Islam, which law in Nigeria say that doctors can wear beard? Is there a law? Beard. Is there any law in Nigeria? Is there any law in Nigeria that says that every doctor is trouser must go beyond the ankle? Is there any law? All you'll be saying, they will be frustrating you. There are so many ways to approach the issue. There are brothers who are beard and they have crossed now. So we will be giving excuses every day. And we say, it's because we are not there. When you are there, what do you do? So Allah, if someone dies like that, how will he meet Allah? Allah asks him, I give you beard, you shave it. Where are the beard? What will you say? I say, don't drag your ankle below you, you drag it. Hold up your CMD now, come to defend you. What the person say in the grave? Will the CMD enter the grave with him? The issue is, the issues of Akhirah, questioning, are not so deep in the minds of many Muslims. So they take those things for levity. Allah will understand. Until the day of Qiyamah. When someone rubs his face while praying, while making dua, but I'll just quote the Imam al-Nawawi said, alayhi rahmatullah. He said, no one does that except the ignorant. And Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah said, no one finished dua and rubbed his hand on the tree except ignorant people. Why is it like that? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who told you to raise your hands and that you do not raise it except that Allah fills it with something for you? Did he tell you to rub it on your face? So why are you rubbing it on your face? So we stop where he stops and we should not exceed the bounds. So there is no authentic narrations that say that the Prophet rubbed his hand on the face. So you too don't rub it. That's why the action is attributed to ignorance. Allahu Akbar. All right, so last question, inshallah. Now. It's not permissible. He's delaying that obedience. The Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith we quoted, the hadith of Abu Huraira, that ayyuha an-nas, inna Allaha farada alaykum al-hajja fa hajj. So people, Allah has made hajj obligatory for you. Now he's able, but he's not going because he wants to build a house. I'm aware that it's a tribe in Nigeria that they don't like people to go for hajj until they have built houses. They are just changing that idea gradually. There's a popular tribe in Nigeria. They won't allow, they will say, he's going for Hajj. Has he built a house? He didn't build a house. He didn't buy a car. He's going to Hajj. Unfortunately, if he dies, they will be the one to inherit the house. So not him. They put him outside the house in the rain. So they will inherit the house and prevent him from investing for the hereafter. Look at the people. Very selfish. It is a selfish culture. Go for Hajj. don't delay the implementation of an order of Allah's Messenger. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, go for Hajj, qabla an habadakum habisun, go for Hajj before something prevents you. In some riwayah, it says sickness or difficulty on the road, or he said, go quickly before something prevents you. So somebody has the money, say, no, I want to dig that first. Who tell you that one? So I want to buy a car first. Who tell you should buy a car first? Those people who have built houses yesterday, where is the house of the Prophet Muhammad? The best human being on earth. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Where is his house? Where is the house of the companions? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, millionaire. Abdurrahman bin Auf, millionaire. Where are their houses they build? But their ujur is there. They went for Hajj, they spent their money free. Abdullah ibn Umar, his slave, nothing. He said he freed more than 1,000 slaves. Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu. All these rewards are for them. Zahab alu dusur bil uduri. Who you want to build house first? You want to buy a car first? Car that you may never drive. Don't people die and leave their car and go? Buy the car. This is what they do. Buy the car, build the house. You will leave it and they will throw you out of it. So the one who is really sensible will not follow these people. Do you understand? So when I say buy the car, build the house, I'm talking about the one who does not want to go for Hajj. I'm not referring to you. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.